You're a wizard, Harry. Welcome to the Harry Potter Book Club for the Chamber of Secrets with
Sarah Tompkins,
Vijaya Shrestha,
and I'm Michael DeMauro. This week we discuss Chapter 14 of the Chamber of Secrets, Cornelius Fudge. We learn a little bit more about Professor McGonagall, and the battle for the Quidditch Cup continues. Hey everybody, we are back for another round of the Quidditch Cup. Did you guys spend like the entire week studying like I did?
I've been stewing in anger.
You are still mad after an entire week has gone by?
An entire week. I've spent the whole week eating mess and just looking at pictures and planning my revenge.
Wow. Jeez.
Darts, like darts at the center of your face.
Wow, this is the Quidditch Cup. There is a physical Quidditch Cup that Sarah is in possession of right now. She's polishing it as we speak.
If I don't give it up, is that technically a hostage illegal situation?
It's not, but I will sue you for it if I win.
She's a lawyer.
She's a lawyer, damn it.
I mean, Sarah, if you come in last place, then I think it's your job to make a new Quidditch Cup. So you just keep the old one. I mean, if you wanted to. Or we could pass it on.
I thought we were adding to the old one.
You could add to it.
Are we adding to the old one and passing it back and forth?
I like the adding to the old one.
Adding's pretty cool. I like that.
Okay. I thought we had to add like new L. That's what I thought what it was, but.
Okay.
Okay.
Vijaya, you're up first.
All right, I'm just going to ask you the question that I was just writing down. Percy says that one of his brothers was more of an outdoor type. Which brother was it?
Ding, ding, ding.
Sarah?
Is it Miss Charlie?
Yeah.
Wow. Boy, that was...
What were you going to guess, Michael?
I mean, I was going to say Charlie for sure, but boy, the ringing in.
She was first on my end. Maybe you should sync your internet.
Maybe you shouldn't interrupt people in their during their questions, Michael, and you would garner more favors.
I'm going to keep saying hmm.
All right. What round is this?
This is round 14.
Only three more left.
Well, all right. No.
Oh, four more left.
After this one, yeah.
Yeah. Mine's already done.
Sarah, I just want you to know that if you ring in even vaguely close, you're definitely going to be first.
God
just want
damn
you to
it.
Know that.
Michael! She was definitely first. God damn it. Beep!
Okay, who did Hermione first face off with at the dueling club?
Me!
Sarah.
Pansy Parkinson?
No!
Millicent Bulstrode!
God damn it, Sarah! She was like a full second ahead of you.
I knew that she was first too.
And you still answered.
You had answers
both are
wrong.
Dicks.
Oh my god, this is why I'm in last place.
That's when karma gets you.
Oh man, son of a bitch.
Oh my god,
that was pretty funny.
Guys,
what's even funnier is that I just awarded the point to Sarah in the doc.
No,
how weird is that? They're both in Slytherin. Okay, right. You guys ready?
Wait, hold on, Sarah. Bajaya got both right so far, right? Is that what happened?
Did Sarah ask her?
No, question? I got the first question.
Oh, you didn't get the first question?
I got Charlie.
Yeah.
This was started the episode feud.
Okay, great.
I am a Hatfield and you are a McCoy friend.
Okay, got it. Okay.
Right. What time does the Hogwarts Express leave King's Cross Station on the first day of term?
Ding ding.
Yes, Michael?
11 o'clock.
That's correct!
Thank you.
I do not.
Wow! I'm actually impressed.
Thank you. I guess.
I don't even want to be impressed. God damn you. I wish I knew that. Knowing that?
I don't know.
Status quo stays as is, as we each got 1 point. Bajaya with 10, Michael with 8, Sarah with 5.5.
Guys, I'm coming up.
I'm coming up.
Chapter 14, Cornelius Fudge.
Who that? Okay.
He's a Minister of Magic. Cornelius Fudge. So we just found out that Hagrid is the person who opened the Chamber of Secrets. So
Hagrid.
Yeah, why would he do that?
God damn it.
So Harry, Ron, and Hermione are like semi in denial, but not. They're like, it can't be him, but boy, it does sound like him, doesn't it? Like, he loves monsters, and after they found him out, then there were no more attacks for 50 years, so guess it must have really been him. But they're like, well, we won't actually confront him about it unless there's another attack, because that's an awkward conversation to have. Why are you releasing a monster that's killing people or petrifying them? So like the attacks seem to have stopped, like months go by. And it's time for second years to pick their classes for next year. So that's a terrifying thing for a young school child. And so no one really knows what they want to do. Hermione's just like, I'll take everything. Harry is completely lost. So he's just like, I'll just pick whatever Ron picks.
That seems like a good choice.
Yeah, and they never actually say what he picks, but that's what he decides to do. So this stuff all happens. And Harry goes back to his room and it has been trashed. Somebody has been digging through his stuff. They've gone through his pockets. It's like he's been burglared.
He smoked all the gillyweed the night before. He doesn't even have any, guys.
Man. So nothing has gone. Oh, wait. No. Riddle's diary is gone.
No!
Oh, yep. Crap.
Yep.
Who's he gonna talk to now?
Yeah, and here's the thing: it had to be a Gryffindor because no one else had the password to get in.
It's true.
Yeah, because no one has ever gotten drunk and tried to hook up with someone and given them that password so they can sneak up at night.
No,
this never happened in the history of Hogwarts.
This talk is a whole another segment that I think we definitely should have.
So they don't know what to do. Harry's getting ready for Quidditch. They're going to have a Quidditch match against Hufflepuff. And he's like looking at everyone at the breakfast table, like, which one of these people stole my diary? So he's like, all right, what can I do? And so he's going to get ready. He's going to go get his broom or whatever. And guess what? He hears the voice again.
Oh, God damn it.
It's been months. God? But suddenly, the voice that's like, kill Rip.
Oh, okay. The
anti-god. Is it you, God? It's me, Addy.
Yeah. And at this point, Hermione, like, claps her hands on her mouth and goes, and she's like, I gotta go to the library. And she just runs off to the library. So something is clicked in her brain. She shouldn't tell anyone. She should go straight to the library. So she does. Mm-hmm. And so everyone else goes down to the Quidditch. Everyone goes down to the Quidditch fields, and they're about to start the match. And then suddenly McGonagall runs out with a giant purple megaphone and says, sorry, no Quidditch. Quidditch is canceled forever. There's been another attack.
God damn it, McGonagall. Yep. Christmas is canceled. It's her fault.
So she grabs Ron and Harry, takes them to the infirmary. Guess what? Hermione has been petrified.
No!
No, say it ain't so. Are you saying, like, Hermione Granger? Are you sure it's not, like, another Hermione?
They're Hermione.
Oh, God damn it.
Yeah, and some random Ravenclaw girl as well. Also, Hermione's holding a mirror, and they're like, what's that about? And they're like, I don't know.
It's a nonsense thing that girls do. They keep on trying to check their makeup. Am I right, dudes? High fives.
She's very vain. I mean,
extremely. So yeah. So they straight bumming because you know their bestie is been petrified. So everything is now like on lockdown. If you want to go to the bathroom, you have to have a teacher take you. Everything's been canceled. No fun is happening. School will likely be shut down if they can't find out who's doing this.
What? I like how everyone's bummed about that, but like if I were at like 11, 12, it's like 6th grade, 7th grade, like I would be super stoked. They're like, school's canceled forever. I'd be like, heck yes. Yeah.
Well, I think if Harry was at Stonewall High and this happened, think that, yeah, everyone would probably be like, yeah, but they're friggin' Hogwarts.
That's true. Nerds. That's true. Nerds.
Yeah. So, so Ron and Harry are like, all right, gotta go talk to Hagrid, have that awkward conversation, because his monster just petrified our best friend. So
now it's even more awkward.
Damn it.
So that night, they get the old invisibility cloak out, and they sneak down to Hagrid's. And what?
His monster just petrified our best friend. It's awfully a sex thing. Keep going.
Oh, boy.
Vijay is, like, really, really hankering for some weird, like, after dark, after school, like, Hogwarts talk right now.
I think it's all the NyQuil talking. So they get down there, they knock on the door, and Hagrid like busts open the door. He's holding his crossbow. He's clearly rattled for some reason. He's like, oh, it's you guys. And he brings them in. He tries to make them tea, but is like failing miserably. He's like breaking things. He pours them each a mug of boiling water. He's just beside himself. And before they can actually talk and say, hey, maybe you shouldn't release monsters, there's another knock on the door. And so they're like, oh, shit. And they throw their invisibility cloak on and hide. And who is it but old Dumbledore and Cornelius Fudge?
Dumbledore.
The Minister of Magic has shown up at Hagrid's shack. So they have kind of an awkward conversation. Fudge is very like wormy and squirmy, and Dumbledore is like, look, it's not Hagrid. Hagrid is my, you know, he's my biffle.
Yeah.
Everything is fine. And, but Fudge is like, I gotta do something. Everyone's mad at me. So he's like, so Hagrid will just take a little trip down the old Azkaban and, just pay a visit. And I'll get if it turns out it's not him, then we'll give him an apology. Everything will be fine. So this is not going great. It gets worse because there's another knock on the door.
Oh boy!
And this time it's Lucius Malfoy. And, you know, at first you're like, oh, he's here to collect Hagrid. No, he's not. He's there with a scroll that says...
Oh, God, does he want to read his own poetry?
No. He's coming with a suspension. Dumbledore has been suspended from Hogwarts.
Can you suspend professors or teachers or ministers? Or
something like that. He's out. He's
out. Like spell, that's what's friend.
Yeah. And like, so we see, I mean, we see how powerful Dumbledore is here just by like Fudge's reaction. Like, this is the Minister of Magic. He's like basically the Obama of the wizarding world. And he's are you like,
wait.
Yeah.
You're comparing Cornelius Fudge to Barack Obama.
Of the wizarding world.
Our supreme leader, our dear leader, Barack Obama.
You mean, I don't even care. Just Barack? You can't do that to him. He's not a fudge.
I'm just saying, I'm trying to make a point, Sarah.
He's more of a David Cameron, if anything.
I'm trying to make a point saying
he's that, lame and can't support his party and is a pushover. He's a David Cameron.
Just his status. Anyway, he's like, oh my God, if Dumbledore's gone, then what do we do? I'm freaking out. And this is their Minister of Magic. And so, but they're like, you know, Dumbledore's like, nope, they signed the thing, I gotta go. But then he's like, oh, by the way, I'll never really be gone as long as those who are loyal to me are still at Hogwarts. And you'll always be given help at Hogwarts if you ask for it. And then he like glances over at the supposedly invisible boys. And then walks out, and they're all like, "What?" And then as Hagrid is getting ushered out, he's much less subtle, and he's like, "If anyone wants to find stuff, they just have to follow the spiders."
If anyone wants my stash, don't just ask for Craig.
And somebody feed Fang.
Aw, Fang. At least he's looking out for his puppy.
Puppy.
And that's the chapter. That's what we get.
Huh. There's a lot happens, though.
Yeah, no, it's a fair amount of stuff. We find out some third-year classes, which is fun. There's arithmancy.
What does that do?
Arithmancy, maybe. there's ancient runes. I think it's like magic math or something.
Yeah, that sounds horrible.
In class, in school, I took arithmetic.
there's ancient runes, there's divination, there's muggle studies, and there's care for magical creatures. They all sound like fun classes.
I think I'd totally be down for care of magical creatures. I think that would be, I'd be their Hagrid.
I feel that is correct. we also get to meet the Minister of Magic the first time, but I feel like we've gone over that quite a bit.
Plenty.
So I just have one question, which is just a thing not necessarily specifically about this chapter, but more just like, what's the deal with the subplot with Percy's girlfriend?
I think it's a red herring.
Bajai's right. It's a red herring because, like, he's being super mysterious. And, like, I think maybe you're supposed to think, even if Harry and Ron aren't thinking it, I think that you're supposed to think that Percy has something to do with the Chamber of Secrets.
I guess that's gotta be it, right?
Do you know what the significance for me was?
What's that?
I learned that it's pronounced Penelope instead of Penelope because I said Penelope to my parents when I was little. And they were like, nope, it's Penelope. And I was like, oh. And that was a life lesson right there.
Why? What about this very not interesting subplot made you bring it up?
to your parents.
I don't know. I was just talking about the books and I was like, you know, Penelope Clearwater. And they're like, what? My dad is also the one I said Hermie one or something like that. My dad's like, oh, Hermione. And I was like, what? And he's like Hermione Gingle, the famous actress. And I was like, she's not famous to me, Dad. I have no idea who that person is.
I don't know who that person is either.
Apparently, that's she's like famous actress, like probably in like the 40s because my father's old.
I don't know. I guess I feel like.
But I think that's what that is. I really do think it was a red herring. I agree with
that. I feel like I've never even noticed that subplot.
I remember noticing it the very first time I read it because I was this Percy, he keeps going off being mysterious and he's awfully cranky, like more cranky than book one.
He's a weird character, isn't he? He's like...
Yeah.
I think, and I was going to say, I don't think that this was the intention, but I think that as you go on in the books, especially when you get to like the last three, this like insight into Percy and like his privacy and like also Fred and I love Fred and George, two of my favorite characters, but like Fred and George teasing him, I think it like really helps paint the picture of a person who's like, you know, he's weird and pretentious, but he's also kind of even ostracized by his own brothers, and so maybe that helps you realize how it motivates him in the future.
Yeah. I feel like he should be a Slytherin. Anyway, that's the chapter.
I think
he is very ambitious.
No, I think he's completely a Slytherin.
All right.
Good job, Michael. Hey, we're going to talk about Minerva McGonagall. Are you all ready?
We are.
I'm ready. You all are. That was a very good Scottish
accent. I've got my Scottish accent.
I will not do a Scottish accent, but I hope you all are holding your heart with your hands and that you have tissues nearby because your heart will break and you will cry.
And it'll be very messy. You'll probably need more. You mean sutures and stuff like that.
Probably maybe some a new sort heart. Some who knows?
I was going to say some sort. Or new eyes. I don't know.
So Minerva was born as the first and only daughter of a Scottish Presbyterian minister, Robert, and a witch, Isabel. She grew up in the Scottish Highlands. Isabel fell in love with Robert and they eloped. They were like pretty young. I think they were like 18 or something. But she didn't tell him about her being a witch. She had been top of her class in charms and captain of the Gryffindor Quidditch team. They had Minerva and named her after Isabel's grandmother, who was an immensely talented witch. But
did they? You know, sorry, I didn't did no, pop, jump in here. Did they say what position she was in Quidditch?
I don't think it did. It's just okay. Said captain.
I was just curious.
This was Isabel, not Minerva.
Okay, got it.
Yeah, and but Isabel, like Robert, still didn't know that she was a witch, so. She was one away from her family and the magical community because they moved to the Scottish Highlands because Robert took, like, a position there as the minister. And she couldn't practice magic because her husband didn't know about it. So she was very withdrawn and she withdrew to herself, and especially after Minerva's birth because Minerva started... showing signs of magic from early hours of her birth. And Robert didn't know all of this. He just knew that his wife was withdrawing to herself, so that was concerning to him. So Isabel finally broke down and told Robert the truth, that she was a witch and blah, blah, blah. He still loved her, but the fact that she had kept this fact from him for so many years meant that the trust between them was broken. And this was Minerva's first experience in living as a witch in the Muggle world, which will come into effect later. Isabel and Robert went on to have two more sons, who also revealed magical abilities. Minerva went on to Hogwarts, which Isabel was kind of envious about because Isabel was still withdrawn from the magical world.
So wait, I was going to say, how did that work out? Yeah.
As she still, like, didn't go back to being in the magic community, just Robert knew about it. And right. Robert also had, like, misgivings about what people would say if they found out that he was, as a minister, was married to a witch. Like, if his community, if his flock were to find out. So at Hogwarts, Minerva drew attention to herself from the very beginning, being a case of hat stall, which is what happened to Harry. The hat couldn't figure out if she should be in Gryffindor or Ravenclaw. Finally, it debated for 6 minutes before deciding on Gryffindor, which Flitwick, it was the opposite. It was still trying to decide between Gryffindor and Ravenclaw, but it chose Ravenclaw. Hmm. So Minerva and Flitwick would, you know, talk about how it was funny that the same thing happened, but with opposite results, and what would have happened if the opposite was decided for each of them. But anyway, she quickly rose to the top of her class with a particular talent for transfiguration. By the time school was over, she had top grades in owls, newts. She had been a prefect, a head girl, and the winner of Transfiguration Today, Most Promising Newcomer Award. Under the tutelage of Dumbledore, she had become an animagus, and she was a talented Quidditch player, just like her mother. In the summer after Hogwarts, Minerva went back to her family's house before starting her new job with Department of Magical Law. Are you all ready?
Because I'm ready.
Here it comes. That summer, she met and fell in love with Dougal MacGregor, a muggle.
What? Oh, no.
He proposed, and she accepted. She went back to her house and wanted to tell her parents, but couldn't. She had seen.
How come?
She had seen what her marriage to Dougal would mean. It would mean that she would have to give up her ambitions of working with the ministry, because Dougal was going to inherit his father's farm. And there's no way that he was going to follow her to London.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so she would basically be what her mother ended up being in her marriage. And she would resent it forever. So she told Dougal that she changed her mind, but couldn't tell him why. So she left because of the international statute of secrecy. And she left for London 3 days later. She didn't really like her job or her life in London. And the fact that her co-workers had a strong anti-muggle bias. So after 2 years, she was up for a big promotion, and she turned it down. Instead, she sent an owl to Hogwarts to see if there was an open teaching position, and she was offered a job in the Transfiguration Department, which Dumbledore was the head of.
Yay!
So she threw herself into her new teaching position, proving to be strict but an inspirational teacher. She also found out from her mother that Dougal had remarried, or had married, which devastated her.
That's really sad. What a jerk face.
Well, he's
for,
just doing,
for finding happiness. Whatever.
And that's when Dumbledore found her in tears and consoled her by telling her his own family stories. They became very good friends that night, and she was one of the very few people who knew how terrible of a moment it was for Dumbledore when he had to confront Grindelwald later in his life.
Right.
Oh, he told about Grindelwald?
Yeah.
That's pretty special.
Yeah. So Minerva was not a member of the Order of the Phoenix during the first Wizarding War, but she did spend a lot of the night spying for the ministry as a tabby cat, bringing the Orr's crucial information about Voldemort's followers. She lost both of her brothers, Robert and... Or she lost her brother, Robert, and Dougal MacGregor during the First War. Dougal's was just a random attack on a muggle family. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty sad.
But she mentions that, doesn't she? Did she mention that in the books? Am I making that up?
I don't remember it. So even while at Hogwarts, she kept touch in... So the one person she liked at her last job was her boss, which I'm going to butcher this name, but Elphinstone Urquhart?
Okay.
Elphinstone Urquhart, maybe? So he would come visit her on holiday to Scotland, and he kept proposing marriage to her, but she kept turning it down. But he didn't stop loving her. So he would just like... proposed to her from time to time. And
jeez
after,
Louise.
Yeah. But after Dougal died...
That kind of seems like sexual harassment, but that's fine.
After... Well, she wasn't her boss anymore.
I don't think that disqualifies it as sexual harassment.
Oh, I thought you meant like workplace sexual harassment.
just general.
But I don't think like she shied away from being friends with him, even though he was continuously proposing to her. But after the death of Dougal, it seemed to free her. So after that, after Voldemort was defeated the first time, he proposed and she accepted. Yay!
Oh, what?
But wait a minute.
Oh no.
Hold on.
She was a feminist, obviously.
Right, but that doesn't mean you can't get engaged to someone.
No, she announced that she would keep her own name. She was not going to take...
Good for her. Good for her.
...his name. Which also, some people poo-pooed because, you know, why would she keep her muggle name when a pure blood name was up for grabs?
Because McGoogles is so great.
I know. No, not McDougal. It was Urquhart.
No, I said McGoogles. I call McGonagall McGoogles.
They had a short but happy marriage. He died 3 years into their marriage from a venomous tentacula bite.
Jesus.
So she was sad again.
She had to have a little happiness.
Yeah. That's so sad. She says she's such a horrible...
I told you.
...existence.
Horrible love life, I guess. She became a full-fledged member of the Order of the Phoenix after Dumbledore's death. She became headmistress of Hogwarts after Snape. She was later awarded Order of Merlin First Class by the new Minister of Magic, Kingsley Shacklebolt, and shortly afterwards appeared on the card in the Chocolate Frog Famous Witches and Wizards series.
Nice.
And she did not think she would receive the accolade. After a private conversation with Harry, she also added a portrait of Snape in the gallery of headmasters and headmistresses. One last quip is Minerva is the Roman goddess of warriors and wisdom, and William McGonagall is celebrated as the worst poet in British history. So J.K. Rowling thought there was something irresistible about his name and the idea that such a brilliant woman might be a distant relative of the buffoonish McGonagall.
Isn't Minerva like the Roman equivalent of Athena? Am I making that up?
I don't know. Maybe.
Okay.
She's supposed to be super fierce. But that was a sad story and incredible... yet sad story of Minerva McGonagall.
What a fascinating lady.
I know.
Yeah, Minerva is Athena.
Did we ever learn what position she played on the Quidditch team?
It was not in the story, but I can look it up really fast.
I'm curious now that Michael asked about her mother's position. I'm wondering what position she played. I feel like she'd be like a chaser.
I feel like she would be the captain as well, because she's so super into Quidditch.
I agree. And also she has good leadership.
I have looked up brings up what position she...
I mean, it wouldn't shock me if she were a beater, but I think she'd be a chaser.
What about a seeker?
I feel like she's not a seeker. I feel like seekers are kind of like... I feel like she's too I don't know, like strong but humble, and I don't think you're humble if you're a seeker.
What about a keeper? She'd be an excellent keeper.
Yeah, but I think you stay still too long, and you don't. I feel like she's active. I don't know. I just feel like she'd either be a bludger or a chaser. That's just my...
I don't think it ever actually says what position she played. Yeah.
Let's get J.K. Rowling on the horn and see what she says.
Come on, J.K. Well, I was gonna say one more thing.
What?
I forgot.
What do you think possessed her to become an animagus?
I don't know. I think she was just so into Transfiguration that was the obvious next step to take, right?
Yeah,
I was gonna say. I guess if you're that good at Transfiguration that you can be the Transfiguration teacher at like one of the top wizarding schools in the world, like you have to be pretty good at Transfiguration, right?
Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
So you have to keep, like, it's like any craft. You want to be the best at it. And so I think that probably... I don't know why she chose cat, though. Or do you get to choose... Like, I don't remember how much we learned from in the next book.
I don't think you get to choose.
I don't know.
Right. Like, so and also sometimes my brain gets mixed up. I sometimes think that the Shoebox Project is actual canon, so I sometimes forget what actually happened. This is the truth. So sometimes I forget what happened with the Marauders. I'm like, oh yeah, they chose their Animagus when they were high on Gillyweed. And I'm like, that is not true. That happened in a fake story. But do you think she chose her cat, or do you think that the cat, like, that's just what she happened to transform into? Kind of like your Patronus, no?
I think the Animagus chooses the person, not the other cat.
Right, like your Patronus.
Yeah, I think so.
That makes sense to me.
That's what I would assume, too.
I think it's also pretty commendable and interesting that even though she was born when she was born, or she chose to choose her career over her.
Right, and also her mother was like on the, I was thinking about that too, like her mother was on the Quidditch team. Like that's, yeah. I feel like there are some women had a little bit more maybe power in the wizarding world than in other realms.
Yep. I to agree.
I also agree. That's fascinating stuff. Thank you, Vijaya.
You're welcome. The more you
sad.
Know.
So sad.
Yeah. Ding. I wish we could put a little ding at the end of that. The more you know.
Ding.
Thank you.
Hey, we're back with some more reviews from iTunes. Thank you so much for your reviews. They definitely help us, so please keep them coming. Aki Troy from the USA says, I'm gonna say every one of your names wrong. Aki Troy from the United States says, F great. This show is F great.
That means funky.
Tutor girl. From the USA says, amazing. I have recently suffered from crippling anxiety. The only thing that calms me down is to listen to this podcast. Thank you guys so much. Keep up with the good work.
Aw, that makes me happy.
That seems
as an anxiety sufferer, I am so glad.
Tired Salmon from the United States says, wow, these nerds are exceptionally smart, funny, upbeat people who just love that HP. Geekly Inc. is great at being inclusive, and listening to the show is like stepping into a judgment-free zone where the hosts sip on that Veritaserum. Also, that music, am I right?
I think he's a tired salmon because they have to swim upstream. Get it?
Yeah, man, that's a hard gig.
Farmer Zoser from the United States says, top grade. Just what I've come to expect from Geekly Inc. A quality podcast filled with colorful.
this is not going to go well for ratings. This is 4-star reading, Michael. This is not 5-star reading.
Just what I've come to expect from Geekly Inc. A quality podcast filled with colorful hosts and lots of laughs. It's been some time since I read HP, and the hosts do a good job reminding me the details I missed the first go-around. I love it! Please do all the books.
So if he's a farmer and he's telling us that we have excellent quality, can we say we're like a grade-A podcast? Because that's, I feel like I don't buy anything below grade-A.
Definitely could. Thank you for joining us for You're a Wizard, Harry. Want to help out? Go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star rating and review. Want to get in touch? Email us at potterpod@geeklyinc.com or follow us on Twitter at potterpod or geeklyinc. And individually, you can find me at thriftynerd.
I'm Vijaya Shrestha, and you can find me on Twitter at ethnicninja.
I am Sarah Tompkins, and you should hit me up at herladytompkins.
editing help this week by Alan Matthews. Our podcast art is created by Jesse Carlton. You can find more of his work at J! On Instagram. And our music is created by Sean Fagan. Find more of his music at soundcloud.com/sleepyfish.